Dave Anderson tells this story on himself. While my wife and I were shopping at a mall kiosk, a shapely young woman came walking by in a short, form-fitting dress, and my eyes followed her. Without looking up from the item at which my wife was examining, she asked, "Was it worth the trouble you're in?" It doesn't take much, does it? We can be so easily led off track. Our desire to fulfill our appetites for worldly pleasures leads us in a path of destruction. Samson shows us that our actions can break our fellowship with God. Samson was a Nazarite. His parents had taken a vow for him. The elements of those vows, the vow of a Nazarite is found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. You find those in detail. I'll summarize them for you. First of all, that there nothing, he takes nothing from the vine. Doesn't drink any wine or grape juice or eat any grapes. His hair has never been cut. And that he would not go near a dead person, even if it was a family member. It is a vow of holy consecration to the Lord. Our vow to Christ is also one of holy consecration to the Lord. It means we are to observe everything that Jesus taught us. Jesus made it simple for us. Now, simple does not mean easy, and our children put it in song for us. I didn't know they were singing that song, but thanks, kids. Jesus' simple formula: love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. A simple formula, not simple to live out. A Nazarite had a vow to keep, and so do we as Christ's followers. If you know Jesus as your Savior, then you have a commitment to keep. Keep it. Live by it. Fulfill it. Don't be swayed to break your vow. Drew Anderson's story reminds us how easy it is to be swayed. Be on guard. Be vigilant. Be steady and consistent. The story of Samson shows us that it is easy even for those under a vow to break that vow. We can follow the desires of our flesh. We disobey our Lord. That's what Samson did. When I say the name Samson, what comes to mind? Before I read the story for today, what comes to mind? Most of all, we think of his heroic strength. The lion he ripped to shreds. The 300 foxes he caught and he tied tail to tail with torches between them and burned up the Philistine fields. Amazement at his feats of strength, fascinating to us. And if you're a guy, wow, what a cool guy in the Old Testament. He's strong, and he's clever, and the girls like him. His story is pathetic. He had married a Philistine woman, not a believer in the one true God. He had been deceived by her into revealing the truth of his riddle. He lost his wager. He lost his wife. But he kept going back to the Philistines. He went back and slept with a prostitute and got away at the last moment. Today we focus on the final chapter in the story of Samson. We find an interesting, subtle word from the author in verse 20. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine completely losing the presence of the Lord from your life? Notice, the author does not comment on it. He does not explain it. He states the fact the Lord's presence was gone from Samson. Gone. Gone like a freight train, just like Montgomery Gentry sings in their song. Samson was in a horrible relationship. He was in love with Delilah. She was a Philistine. She was not committed to God. She was a devotee of a Philistine God. In fact, her name, Delilah, means devotee. Samson never should have been in this relationship. He was so captivated by his love and desire for her, lust most likely, that he never would observe the warning signs that his relationship was in trouble. The Bible tells us that she set her heart on persuading him to tell her the secret of his strength. She had great motivation. The lords of the Philistines, all five of them, had promised to give her 1,100 pieces of silver each. That's 5,500 pieces of silver. Even if Delilah loved Samson in the beginning of their relationship, now she has acted with greed. She asked him directly for the reason for his strength. She was persistent. She kept after him. She stated it simply. We see weaknesses by Samson. He has revealed weaknesses to us all the way throughout his story that's found in the book of Judges. I don't think he saw them. I don't think anyone could tell him. A dangerous position in which to be is that you do not see your own faults and you will not listen to anyone else who might tell you them. Do you see signs of weakness in your life? Are you willing to listen to somebody else who might tell them to you? The Holy Spirit will speak them to you, but will you listen? I challenge you to be courageous enough to ask the Holy Spirit to show you your weaknesses. He would be glad to tell you. Are you bold enough to ask and to listen? Samson's weakness is revealed when he toys with Delilah. He lies, flat out. That's what he does. She then tries him. She shows her own lack of integrity in the relationship for not accepting his word. She tries what he says. 5,500 pieces of silver. She can see it now, seated on the floor, piles of hundreds surrounding her as she counted it all, making sure she got every last piece. 7 fresh cords would do the trick, he said to her. She gets some and has men lying in wait. She calls out that they are upon him. He breaks the cords like they are string. It didn't work. Delilah is disappointed. She gives him that old pouty lip, sad eyes, sob story as she begs him for his secrets. Samson doesn't get it. He doesn't see what she is doing. He lies again. He should have packed up his stuff and left. That's what you do with temptation. You pack up your stuff and you leave. Proverbs says of a woman like Delilah, she flatters with words. From her lips drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. Her tongue is smooth. He let the smooth tongue of Delilah entice him. They go through the routine again. Again, the same results. They repeat the process another time, but this time he gets closer to the truth. He mentions something about his hair. He's approaching the precipice of the cliff. If he falls over, there's no going back. There's no rope. There's no safety nets. Once again, the same results. She tries. It fails. Here's my question. Why does he keep going through this? Can't he see what she's doing? Why doesn't he just walk away? Why do you and I keep going through it? Why do we not walk away? sin? That's the short answer. It's a good answer. Sin. It will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. It will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you want to pay. Well, at this point, Delilah is getting ticked off. Now she pulls out the old, "How can you say you love me when you won't tell me?" routine. Samson was a weakling. He had no moral courage or strength. He should have run away. He should have repented. He did not. He stayed there. You cannot stay there. He gave in. He sinned. He provided the trap. Samson did not think that the rules applied to him, and it was his downfall. When he finally told her, she knew it was the truth. She had worn him down. He had stayed with sin too long. He had gone too far. And now he's about to pay a price he doesn't want to pay. Delilah set the trap, and quickly, once again, she cried out, "The Philistines are upon you, Samuel." This time, it was different. He did not know the Lord had departed from him. It's a haunting verse in the Samson story. It's a haunting verse that could be lived out in our lives if we're not careful. We take actions that break our fellowship with God. We take actions, just like Samson did. And we look at him and we judge him and think what an idiot he must have been, while all the while not bothering to look in the mirror or allow the Spirit to examine our spirits and our hearts. What happened to Samson? He broke fellowship with the Lord, and ultimately he broke his vow to the Lord. How's your relationship with the Lord? And to that, you may want to say back to me, "Hey, I'm at church, aren't I?" Well, yeah, you are. But contemporary research in recent years reveals that it doesn't mean just because you show up at church that you have a thriving relationship with Jesus Christ. There was a study done a few years ago by Willow Creek Church that said that people who are highly engaged in church do not necessarily have spiritual formation practices in their lives that allow them to keep growing in the Lord. That study, and really and truly observations by pastors across the ages, reveal to us that sometimes it's easy just to go through religious motions and not be engaged in fellowship with the Savior. Some of you may not have a relationship with the Savior, Jesus Christ, at all. Oh, the best word I have for you today is there's a relationship waiting for you in Jesus. Jesus desires a relationship, a fellowship with you. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about a relationship. And Jesus has one he offers to you. Some of you keep falling to the same things over and over and over. It's the same sin or the same set of sins that just keep getting you, and you are frustrated. You don't know why that can happen. And quite frankly, the devil's really not very creative. Why try another trick when the old one will work? A spiritual gauntlet must be thrown down in your life. A gauntlet is an open challenge. It's a challenge that cannot be won in flesh and blood. It is a spiritual challenge. It will be one in the blood of Jesus on your knees with repentance in your heart, with spiritual formation practices that shape you in the image of Christ, with spiritual help from others, and with accountability. That's how it'll be won. It'll be won through those things. But that spiritual gauntlet must be thrown down in your life to bring about a change. There once was a tyrant who summoned one of his subjects into his presence and ordered him to make a chain. And the man, a blacksmith, that's who he was, began to make the chain. And once the chain was completed, he took it in to the tyrant and showed him the chain. And he liked what he saw, but he told him to double it. And he doubled it and he took it back to the tyrant. And the tyrant once again said, double it again. And this time he took it back and the tyrant was pleased. He liked what he saw. And then he told his servants to bind the man with the chain that he had made himself and cast him into prison. That's what the devil does. He makes you forge your own chain and then he binds you with it. A spiritual gauntlet must be thrown down in your life. You may know Jesus as your Savior, but your sin will destroy your life. Any sin can destroy your life. You see, the catch is we rank them. We think some are bigger than others. We treat some of them as worse than others. Usually it's the ones other people have and not ours. Surely mine is not that bad. It's everybody else's. Oh, be careful. You have set yourself up for failure. You have set yourself up for spiritual doom. No, we've got to realize any sin can cause us to fail and fall. Even what we consider the small stuff can ruin you. Samson is a warning to all of us. He warns us. But the story is not completely gloomy. Words of hope come from the page of the Bible as subtly as the previous words about the Lord had left him. Here are those words. The hair of his head began to grow again. Do you hear the hope in those words? Do you hear something good is coming? The writer slipped them in. And if you're not careful, you read this story, you'll read right past those words and you'll miss them. The hair of his head began to grow again. The Philistines poked his eyes out. Then they put him in prison. They made him a grinder at the mill. Now, quite honestly, it's easy to miss the irony of this point of the story. The irony of Samson being a grinder at the mill. What is the irony? Grinding is woman's work. It could be done in the strength of a woman. It was a measly task for a man who had been strong enough to kill a lion or 1,000 men at one time. This was far below what God had intended for Samson. When we take actions that break our fellowship with God, we live at less than God intends for us. While he was in prison, his hair began to grow. It began to grow. But the Philistines threw a party. They wanted to celebrate and give thanks to their god Dagon. Dagon had delivered their enemy Samson. And they brought out their enemy to amuse them and to entertain them at their party. What he did, we don't know. The author doesn't tell us exactly what he did to amuse them. But at a break in the festivities, he asked the young man to take him to the two pillars that supported the house. The architecture of the time, the roof was supported primarily by two pillars. Archaeology's revealed that to us over the years. Samson, his hair has grown out. In his hair is his strength. It has returned. Samson, his heart is humbled. He turns to God in prayer. When did this happen? When was his heart humbled? When did it change? We don't know. Maybe it's while he was doing woman's work. Maybe Samson caught the irony of what was happening. Here he was grinding grain, the strongest man who had ever lived. Maybe the Spirit spoke to his spirit about his sin and about his downfall and why he was in this position. And Samson prays. It's the first time in the story of Samson that he prays. He had broken his vows to the Lord. He had fulfilled the desires of the flesh. He had fulfilled his worldly longings. The presence of the Lord had left him. I can't think of any worse position to be in than that. Let Samson's life be a warning to all of us that if we are not careful, we will so live that the presence of the Lord would leave us. It can happen to any of us. You don't have to go there. You don't have to take actions that break your fellowship with God. God can change you. God wants to change you. And listen, it can even be the smallest, slightest things. Maybe for the most part, life is pretty good, but the Spirit might say something to you that this morning, quite honestly, seems small to you. Quite honestly, it seems like maybe it really shouldn't be a big deal. But it can grow into that. If we had time to trace the story of Samson all the way through his story in the Scriptures this morning, you could see it early on. It doesn't have to be that way. Nobody is beyond changing. Nobody is beyond God's use. Nobody is beyond God's redemptive power. Samson prayed. God answered. Samson pushed with all his might. He pushed the pillars, the building fell. It killed all of the people, including Samson, because part of his prayer was that he would die with the Philistines. But God used Samson to deal a great blow to the Philistines, the enemy of God's people. Here's good news for you. It doesn't matter where you are in your relationship with God. If there is any sin, I'm not going to start naming sins because I don't want you to think, well, you left mine out, so maybe I'm okay. Mm-mm. We'll trust the Spirit of God to speak to you about any of those today. It doesn't matter where you are in it, your relationship with God can be restored, refreshed, renewed, revitalized. Let Samson's life be a warning to us that our lives can end up like his if we're not careful. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to go that direction. Do not think that it won't happen to you. That puts you in a dangerous position. The Lord had departed from him. You don't want that to happen. Any sin can lead us in the direction of Samson. God's presence can depart from you. And quite frankly, you could be here this morning and feel like that. It doesn't have to stay there. Through repentance of your sin to the Father and asking for God's forgiveness, God will restore and renew your fellowship with Him. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God at all. You can begin that relationship by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior as you confess your sins to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sin and become your Savior, and you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to realize that we take actions that break our fellowship with God, but our relationship with God can be restored. You don't have to live in broken fellowship with God. You can live in a restored relationship with Jesus Christ, Savior. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You can live in restored relationship with Him, and you can call out to God as your Father in a loving fellowship relationship with Him. You don't have to live in that broken junk where Satan wants you to live. You can live in restored and renewed fellowship and relationship